Coming up on today's BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk podcast, an exclusive discussion about an unprecedented new M Series motorcycle, the BMW M1000R. Take a listen. Over the years, I've had the privilege of riding BMW motorcycles all over the world. And the one thing I've come away with is that the only thing more extraordinary than the ride are the people you meet along the way. These are their stories. My name is Sean Thomas, and this is BMW Motorrad's Ride and Talk.
First M we brought out was 2 years ago, the M1000RR. Hmm. And we said we want to spread out M in a way where we have some high-performance bikes.
Yeah. For more than 50 years, BMW has had a division dedicated to producing exceptionally high-performance vehicles for both competition and consumer enjoyment. Known as M, this series of vehicles is renowned worldwide for their uncompromising power and performance. It has only just come to pass that BMW Motorcycles has also offered an M Series variant, first as the M1000RR and now with the new M1000 Single R. Recently, my producer Louise Powers and I caught up with Dominic Blas, product manager for the new MR. After spending the afternoon riding together on the racetrack, we sat down with Dominic and learned about him and his amazing new motorcycle. All right, Louise, now that Dominic is sitting next to you, I got to tell you this story, okay?
Oh, okay.
So I'm on the track earlier today on my GS, which we can maybe all agree that not a common sight.
Yeah, and it's not just a GS, it's a GS Adventure.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I'm moving as good a clip as I can go. And I managed to sneak a look behind me and I see this machine stalking me. And it's this epic looking bike. And I know it's Dominic because you're not a small guy.
Nah.
Yeah. We're about the same height. What are you in meters?
I'm 193.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's about what I am as well. 6'4".
Yeah.
For those of us in the USA.
Yeah.
and I was going as hard and fast as I possibly could, but you didn't look like you were working that hard.
Yeah, to be honest. It was good fun seeing the GSA being like ridden on the track this speed. I mean, we did like 45 degrees lean angle. So Whoa. It was a good fun for me following you, seeing what the GS is capable of.
Awesome. There's nothing quite like dragging a knee on any motorcycle. But doing it on the GS.
Yeah, that's something special.
It feels really good. It feels like a real accomplishment. Louise, does that story impress you?
Actually, it does.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was really fun to watch the two of you out there together because you would go by and Dominic would go by and he was just stalking you. It was pretty great. Yeah, it was great to watch.
And you were stalking me on a first for the USA, a motorcycle that we have never seen here in the flesh.
Yeah.
The new M1000R. Oh, that thing is epic.
Yeah, it's got some spice on it. It's kind of really special.
And it's not just special because it's such an epic bike. It's your baby.
Yeah,
that's for
sure.
The product manager of the M1000R. That's pretty amazing. And we're going to talk about that because, of course, I have a million questions about that bike. But I want to talk about you first. I mean, you're clearly know your way around a motorcycle. I mean, the track here is technical and it's fast and you are moving. And that's not just the bike.
Yeah, it's also a little bit myself. But I mean, I'm into motorcycles since I had my first 125. I live and breathe motorcycles. So that's why I'm getting along everywhere on off-road, on-road. I just enjoy it and have a good time.
And, you know, that's such a significant thing because before I really got to know BMW on the inside, I kind of assumed that nobody there really rode much. You know, they were enthusiasts, maybe. They talk about bikes and they obviously make very good bikes, but I didn't know that they actually rode. And I'm learning that the opposite is true, that you guys are all pretty hardcore on bikes, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. We all have the same passion, being around bikes, riding bikes. Yeah, and some of us, of course, they're like picking up the base. Others are more into cruising, and that's the good thing. You know, we have like a wide range of people, and we try to fit them also to the project.
Yeah. So, you've been with BMW, I think you said around 2009, yeah?
Around BMW, yes.
Yeah.
Doing like first internship in Munich at a technical training, train the trainer programs.
So you're basically teaching the people that help customers understand product. Yeah. That's what train the training department is.
Yes, we train the trainers for around the world. So we make technical training for them.
Yeah. And you were on the technical side, yeah?
Yes.
So you're talking about, you know, digging into motorcycles and the inner nuances of the bikes. That was sort of your thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And it seems to me like it's pretty common to start at BMW as an intern. I met a lot of people that started there. And was it your goal to stick with the brand when you started there?
Yeah, definitely. So after my first internship, I was kind of convinced that I want to work for this company.
Yeah.
And funny wise, actually also being a product manager was one of my dreams back there. So I'm really happy that it now worked out after doing another internship in Canada, which was amazing.
Hmm. In 2009, that time frame is a very interesting time for BMW because it's when we first saw the S1000 RR come to pass. And here was a motorcycle that at the time, you know, all of us that had sold BMWs and loved them went, yeah, this is BMW makes great bikes, but they're not a sport bike company, not to the level of bikes like Yamaha and Suzuki and Kawasaki. And like, those are the bikes that are really going to take the gold. But this BMW is coming out with this thing that's like good for them. But then
we changed something.
Yeah.
We made our brand younger. We have like the second step next to the GS. It's like a wider range of people, customers, different kind of bikers. And we brought the worlds together.
I was selling motorcycles at the time that the S1000 RR came out, and suddenly we had people coming in the dealership that would never go in there unless they were with their grandparents. they're in their 20s.
Yeah.
And like, we want to see this bike.
Yeah.
That's
beating up everybody.
Yeah. It's like, it's getting all of the rave reviews and it's epic. And the thing that fascinated me about the RR in particular was talking with the people that designed that bike and having them explain to me how much of the car side tech they were able to glean in order to develop that bike, you know, and build that bike out, and how important that is. And that's something that manufacturers don't often get to take advantage of.
Yeah, that's the good thing for us, having on-site the car side, and now especially for us also really advantage to have M around.
So M, I want to talk about that. I'll dive into it right now if you let me, but I'm going to wait just a little. Everybody just hang out with us for a minute. I want to talk a little bit more about where you started. So you started in technical training. You're sitting at the table right now. You look pretty young. Don't tell me how old you are just yet, but I'm guessing in 2009, you were maybe 15.
I was a little bit older.
But anyhow, you were young then and you were in technical training. But then as an intern, as you transitioned into working at BMW, you probably moved around the company a bit, yeah?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I did my second internship for BMW Motorrad Canada, which was an amazing experience, being all the exhibitions in the winter time, doing some test rides at all the dealerships across the country. I did like 10,000 kilometers in 1 month.
Wow.
Wow.
That was so cool.
That's cool.
So many nice people. So I had a really good experience over there. And after this, I worked for other company, but already for BMW Motorrad. And then I started off in the project management for electromobility and the scooter side.
Ah, so Sea Evolution.
Yeah.
That was like kind of their first.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first one, Sea Evolution. And we also did like in a cooperation with Longines, the C400X and GT.
Just a quick side story. So Louise and I were part of the program in the USA to help spread awareness about the Sea Evolution. And we took dealers out to ride. We had about four of them and we take them out and go riding. And I was on a GS and I would take these riders from dealerships on twisty roads. And I got my rear end handed to me by a guy on a Sea Evolution electric scooter. He outrode me hard. And you see, like, I'm not slow.
Yeah, you're a good rider.
I wasn't quite as good then, but I had a big ego, and it was bruised hard by the Sea Evolution. That was a tough time. Make sure that those bikes in the future are throttled back a little so that...
Yeah. on the first, from 1 to 30 miles per hour, for example, you're always quite fast on a Sea Evolution, for example.
Yeah.
But then... the four cylinders kicking their ass.
So you were a project management for C-Evolution, but then you moved on to
something. Yeah, then I moved directly to BMW, being responsible for the quality of our cooperation project. So that means I was responsible for the 310 GS and R. And also the C400X and GT in China.
So you're working on this project with BMW. By now you've got a name for yourself doing these projects, and somebody somewhere somehow pulled you back into product management. Tell us about that.
Yeah, true. So actually, my first boss when I was an intern in 2009, 2010, Christian Pignitzer.
Yes.
He was like calling me and he say, Dominic, you want to join us? You would need somebody like you. And I was like, yeah, of course. I would love to, but yeah, we have to find the right project for me.
Yeah. It's got to be something that you're really passionate about.
Yeah.
Which is a wide range for you because you're a big off-road guy as well as an on-road guy. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the special thing in the end. I like both worlds, mm-hmm. and both worlds are getting good together. You know, they influence. So training for one is also good for the other. Yeah. So epic to be involved in both worlds.
So in business, when you're elevating your career, did you point at any particular bike and said, if you want me, it's got to be the development of this project? Or did they come to you with this project?
No, I was actually, they were asking me which projects I would love to have to come to the product management. I said, there are only two things, because I'm also a big off-road guy. I was like, either we do four cylinders or we do the GS. So I'm so happy that it was in the end the four cylinders, because I think as a quite young guy, I think I kind of good representation for our customers in this segment.
All right. We're going to find out your age, but don't tell us. Yeah. Because we're going to guess first. Louise, take a good hard look at Dominic and throw out a number. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I'm going to do that, I mean, I would say in his 20s, but you kind of have to also take the career path into consideration. Yeah. It's a little tough. So let's see, 2009, that was, 13 years ago. I'm going to say you're 30.
I'm thinking he's 35.
You kind of in between. So I'm 33.
Aha.
Awesome.
Tell me I'm wrong here. I'm going to title you as the youngest product manager at BMW.
I think I'm currently the youngest one, but there are some good colleagues of mine. We are almost all the same age. So we're getting a kind of really young team, which is really good, like also consideration for the future and so on. So it's a good mix out of young, passionate people and also some really good, experienced product managers, like for everybody knows from Doubler, Sepp Mechler, for example.
Sepp is amazing. Yeah. And you mentioned Christian Pinitzer, who I rode with in the GS Trophy, and he's such an amazing, passionate guy. He's got to be really fun to work with.
Yeah, it's amazing. That was one of the reasons I switched. I mean, having people around who also as a boss, somebody who is really understanding about every particular side of motorcycling, being an enthusiast by himself, makes the work so easy.
We're going to talk about the MR. I really want to. I got to ask you this first, though, because as a product manager, you obviously were staring at this bike that you rode today, and it was amazing. But you're also looking ahead, and you're looking way ahead. And I'm not asking you to tell us about any of that. I know you can't. But years ahead, you know, more than probably, I'm going to guess 6 years or more.
Yeah.
And as a product manager, wrapping your head around what that future looks like, because evolution of motorcycles has been amazing as of late.
Yeah.
And with technology booming like it is, it's a wild ride, it must be.
Yeah. You always think, cannot get better in the end. You always think, wow, this bike is amazing, but then when we always find some solutions which make the bikes more attractive. And I mean, if you look at the future, as you said, like 6 years into the future, you really have to consider a lot of environmental things around and talk about what will be the needs of the customer and who will be the customer kind of as well.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. I remember selling bikes and bikes like the 1150RT and 1150GS. And when they come out with their new versions, I go, there's no way they can make these bikes any better. They're perfect. And then you ride the new one and go, whoop, there you are. And then next evolution, you're like, there's no way they can make, oh, okay, this bike's better.
Yep.
That's a big responsibility. And I think with the single R, in my opinion, that's a pretty iconic motorcycle for BMW. I mean, you can tie the roots of that bike all the way back to the beginning, the bare essentials motorcycle. And when I think of the R, I think of the Roadster, but you used a different word to describe it. I think you used the word street fighter.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, now we're on a level, so it's, we call it like the S1000R, it's a dynamic Roadster for us, because it's like next level. And with the MR, it's more likely the hyper roadster market. So crazy bikes with a lot of power.
Now, I'm going to pretend that this is for the benefit of the people listening. But the reality is that this is for my benefit too. Understanding M and its origins and what it means to be a product within the BMW Motorrad lineup. Can you help us understand that?
Yeah. So, I mean, M has this year, so 2022, has its 50th anniversary.
Hmm.
So the M, actually, it's the motorsport part of the car side.
Hmm.
And they developed then also serial cars.
Hmm.
M stands for the strongest letter in the world.
Yeah.
And we are, as we talked about it, we make now young bikes for all different kind of people.
Yeah.
And so M is actually fitting extremely well into the motorcycle world.
Mm. Yeah, when I think of M, performance is the first thing that comes to mind. But when you buy a motorcycle, there's sometimes you buy a bike and they have an M package.
Yeah.
And then you have bikes that are actually labeled as an M. Can you help us understand the difference between those two?
Of course. The first M we brought out was 2 years ago, the M1000RR.
Hmm.
And we said we want to spread out M in a way where we have some high performance bikes.
Yeah.
So what is next to the M1000RR? Obviously having the MR, so the first single R with 210 horsepower, which is now the most powerful serial dynamic roadster in the world.
Wow.
Which is a huge thing for us.
And, you know, the photos have been coming out. The photos are amazing, but they don't do the real thing justice.
Yeah.
Because when you see that bike in person, Louise.
Yeah, I loved it when I saw it. And I saw the pictures and I thought it looked great. And I thought that actually looks like a really fun bike. And then when I saw it today, I was like, oh, that's a good looking bike. I might have to have one of those.
So when you say the name, is it appropriate to call the M1000R?
Yeah, no, we most likely like to have to say MR because, I mean, it's the GS. It's the M1000R or the RR.
So help us understand, other than horsepower, what makes the MR.
It's more likely a huge package of high performance parts in the end. So we put in the technology with the shift cam from the new model revision S1000RR and use the chassis of the S1000R. So we put like both worlds together, and that's the superbike DNA of this bike is bringing everything together out of both worlds. So you have a nice bike for windy country roads, but you can also go on the racetrack. And as you saw today, it's possible to battle with the superbikes.
It's just fine against the superbikes. Yeah. And I think in the past, the shifting intake cam has been something that you only got with the RR and when it was in case of a four-cylinder, and you never could have that with a single R of any variant from BMW. So this is a first, having that shifting intake cam, which gives you this amazing range of power and torque.
Yeah, we did it actually with the S1000R. We are like on a level, to be honest, having a roadster with 165 horsepower seems for the most people to be enough.
Yeah.
But we still took up with all the competitors, but we said, I mean, we have all possibilities And especially with having M at the motorcycle side, why not bringing it to the next level and making such a crazy but easy to ride? And that's the special thing about this bike. It's so nice and handling, but it also can be a beast if you like to, but it's rideable for everybody.
The first thing I noticed when I sat on it was the handlebar position, because it's nowhere near as low as an S1000 or an MRR, and they're wide, and it's really comfortable the way you just sort of splay out on that bike, even for people our size. And that bike is not, I mean, it's designed for a wide range of people, but we're not the average size riders.
True.
This is more a Louise size. Yeah, Louise?
Well, I don't think that I'm the average size rider either. This bike is designed for someone in between, but actually that's a big part of the point is that it's a really comfortable bike with a really good stance, and those bars are amazing. Yeah. I love those.
The fit and finish of the bike, it's so sexy.
Yeah.
Like all of the little nuances, the carbon fiber and the way it's painted.
Yeah, it's all exclusive, and that's also one part of having an M bike. It's like a lot of exclusive parts. And coming back to the point of what is the differentiation from having an S1000R with M package and having an MR with and without M competition package?
Yeah.
So the difference is quite clear. So the M package, it's more likely as on the car side. It makes look the bike a bit cooler. You have some small improvements, like or actually it's big improvement having forged wheels or carbon wheels on the bike, of course. But having the M bike, we defined that we really want to have something. If you buy this bike, you actually have everything already in serial you need.
Yeah.
So that was the idea behind. So M is always fully packed with everything you can think of.
The winglets on the bike. It's a very interesting. We're seeing a lot of manufacturers go this direction. And tell us a little bit about that and its use.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people, I mean, last 2 weeks we had our press launch, for example. And everybody, some people are asking, why don't you put winglets on, and do we need the M winglets? The answer is yes, we actually need them to, otherwise having like that much power in a roadster is not too easy to combine. And to give you an example, the downforce we have with the winglets is at, for example, 220 kilometers per hour. It's almost 12 kilos.
Wow.
And they're not massive. They're like, they look kind of aggressive, but they're not like huge, but it's such a nice downforce. You need to keep the bike above 100 kilometers going straight, being stable.
Mm. So at 100 kilometers an hour is when you really start to notice the effect of the winglets, right? And this is just downforce on the front tire.
Yes. And it also helps you like to go into the corner more easy and have more pressure on the front wheel, which is also really helpful having that much power.
Generally, with bikes being as powerful as they are now, the technology that is going into them, whether it be the ABS Pro or the rear wheel lift detection or dynamic traction control, adjustable suspension. These things have gone from being interesting novelties. I think they are essential now.
True. I mean, for the most people and customers, they're essential, but we don't, we try that everybody can adjust the bike to their needs. Mm-hmm. So we bring it now to the next level. I mean, with having a wheelie, stoppy, and brake slide control on the MR, we really bring it to the next level. But in the end, with the race pro modes, you can adjust it to your needs and for everybody's riding style. And you can also almost switch off everything if you like to.
Mm. And a lot of that you can adjust on the fly too.
Yeah.
You know, you see the dynamic traction control adjuster right there. And then your display is showing you, you know, how much braking effort you're doing, how much the traction control is kicking in. All of that data is right there for you as you're barreling down the track chasing a GS.
Yeah, true. And then you look down and look up to Sean again and see, oh, he's doing 45 degrees lead angle on a GSA. That's quite impressive.
That was good. Now, You've got the MR here in the USA. It's the first time we've ever seen it.
Yeah.
And you made it clear, and we understand that we're not allowed to ride it. That's for you, and we'll get our chance later. But I gotta admit to you, you know, I was looking at your suit. I'm like, you know, I would fit in that suit.
Yeah.
And true. If I had my helmet on, true, my visor down, they would think I was him.
That's a really good looking suit too. I really like it.
Yeah, we discuss it afterwards.
Yeah, you don't want that. And that would probably mean that you'd probably bring my GS up to 50 degree lean angle. If we switch,
I would try to follow you.
So when you're developing a bike like the MR, I imagine there is a lot of people with a lot of passion that would like to take the bike in a multitude of directions during the development phase. Tell us a little bit about that and how you manage it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we have so many people, and that's one thing I want to say first. It's a team who made this bike. Mm. It's not me. I'm just a small part of it. Mm. We are big team of enthusiasts working on this bike, and we started off because we had the base S1000R and the S1000RR. Yeah. Like we started off 3.5 to 4 years ago. Mm. And then we firstly defined which kind of customers and customer groups are going to be the people who will buy this.
Yeah.
And which kind of product substance we are going to bring in there. That's mm-hmm. most likely part of the product management side, yeah, together with the guys who are doing the project itself. Mm-hmm. And then you start off discussing the needs with the development department and define how you can translate them in technical information.
Yeah.
And after this, the project team is coming together with all different kinds of people. From, we have sales guys, we have our development guys for all four parts, so body, chassis,
yeah,
engine,
there's so
electrics,
much.
And yeah, there's so many people involved. I mean, the project team is more likely 12 people just being like in the regular meetings, but there's so many people around who are working on the stuff. Mm. For example, the guys who are working on the chassis side for doing, yeah, the brake slide, yeah, and stubby and control, and really also writing this stuff and,
yeah,
making it as good. So they have to go to the limit to make this bike perfect then for the customer in the end.
You know, I once got a tour of Disney Animation Studios.
Yeah.
I had a friend that worked there. And when he took me around, something I took note of as we were seeing the sights is that the entire building was decorated with the colors and photos and ambience of the type of movie that they were making at the time. So an animator could take a walk around and see all of the sort of things and the architecture that they intended to eventually draw in or paint in or use graphic design into the movie. And I thought that was really interesting. Is that what it's like at BMW? Do you have a room that's like full of cool, like, you know, this is the person you're building this for, and this is what the imagery we're going after?
Kind of. We really have a process also together with our design department. It's a really important process as well. We give the bike kind of a character. Mm-hmm. So for us, the MR is the urban rebel who is claiming his way, because mm-hmm. it's like you have a beast in the city to show off, but you also have a racetrack bike. You can be the bad guy, but you can also be the good guy. And so we give the bike kind of a naming and also a person behind.
Yeah.
And then we define in which direction we are going. I mean, it has to have some stage and show-off factor.
Yeah.
So, and then we define the needs there. Mm. And then we translate it in more likely 10 steps which are necessary to make this bike. So the top 10 of customer needs.
So you've got the MR is out and it's here. I know you have a lot of other products in development as well. And of course, you were project manager for other products in the past. You know, how has your role in this evolved over time and contributed to what you've made to date and what you will make in the future?
Yeah, that's the impressive thing about this job is that you, as we discussed about, you talk about really the needs which will be there in 6 years. So you define the customer needs for that time. Mm-hmm. But you also, I mean, there are some restrictions you have to talk in the till the bike is will be out for the customers. There are so many things you have to discuss because, I mean, you also, it's a also kind of a financial thing, and sometimes it's not possible to do what we were thinking about doing. Mm-hmm. And so you also have to fight for the customer to get everything you can into the bike. And then in the end, now I'm on the nicest phase of all this is being around with the first customers, with the press, and having the opportunity to really getting the feedback from all of them, and everybody is smiling and is so happy about this bike, and that makes us all proud.
You know, it's an interesting point you make, like at the top of BMW, Motorrad, like when I think of the top, I think of Dr. Schramm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've met Dr. Schramm, and he's a really nice guy. He also seems like an extremely smart guy, which I'd expect him to be. But, you know, you look at the MR and I think that's not the bike that he would want. Like he's not going to ride that bike. That's not his daily driver. Right. But he clearly had enough understanding of your passion and vision to allow that bike to come through.
No, actually, Mr. Schramm is a huge AM fan, and he's a huge fan of motorsport and World Superbike and Endurance, World Endurance Championship. And he is actually one of the reasons we could make this bike. He actually is one of the most proudest guys about this bike. He's really also fascinated about it. And so he is totally into the stuff. And that's really important that we can do our jobs as we can do.
What do you suppose is the best way that people can see and understand better the new MR?
That's a really good question. I mean, you have to feel it. I mean, the first impression is amazing. As you said, if you see it in person, it's so impressive. And then the nice thing about this bike is normally a BMW bike, you start to ride it, you like it.
Yeah.
It takes half an hour and then you are really convinced buying it. And with the MR, first second you put the ignition on and you're like, wow. And then you go off, it's easy handling, and then you go on the throttle and there's so much power. Wow. So it's one of the bikes you really sit on first time, push the button, and you will enjoy it.
Will we get to have you back here again when the next line of products in your lineup come out?
Probably, yes.
Wow. Because I know you got good stuff coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soon.
Oh, soon. Wow. But we're done with M's though, right? I mean, there can't possibly be more than two M's. You don't have to answer that. I'm just teasing you. We shall see. Dominic, it was great chatting with you, man. Thanks so much for chatting with us.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Rock Thank on. You.
We very much hope you have enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you, so please comment and share your thoughts about this podcast. We have many more on the way, so please subscribe, follow along, and share your requests for future episodes of the BMW Motorrad Ride and Talk Podcast.